Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Kawhi Leonard has been traded, and we'll be talking about that trade and its implications across the league, such as where does this place the Raptors in their standings in the East? Did the Spurs truly win out that trade by acquiring DeMar DeRozan? And where does this leave the Lakers as next season looms? We're also talking Carmelo Anthony and whether he deserves a starting spot for the Rockets. And the all-important ratings are out, the 2K ratings. And we'll be discussing whether Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, or Jason Tatum should have been seated higher. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this episode of an off-season.
It is definitely off-season.
It's not off-topic.
Hey!
So it's on-topic off-season.
Yes.
So it's on-season. It's on-off. If we're fusing the... Anyway. With me today, as always, we have the J-Man, Jack Manuel, here from London.
I'm here for a little bit longer, probably. Yeah. Okay, dynamic duo back. Chaz Wozzles did okay.
Yeah, no Charlie in this week, because we do not value his
basketball input.
Opinion.
Not at all.
Though he can probably tell me what's going on with them Chicagos.
The Chicagians. The Jabaris.
They're not bulls, mate. They're not that fearsome. They're the Chicago cows.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of defense. I mean, I tagged you in that post today about Jabari saying that he doesn't... I mean, we'll talk... I don't think we have him in the pod, but like...
He don't do defense.
He's got that Bill Murray mentality about him, and I kind of respect it. But I don't.
An excuse to that, use that one.
Very well done, sir. Very well done. We have a lot of sound bites. Well, Nick has a lot of sound bites. He does a lot of work on that, and he uses probably like the same three over our last 30 like episodes. Yeah, my name. Have you done your name?
I've done my name.
My name's the J-Man.
Oh, wait, no, your name's the J-Man. My name is Nick Busey.
There we go.
And I've completely oversighted on the random fact today. My random fact?
Yeah, yeah.
Is my niece is more technologically advanced than I am. I have a story to tell you.
Isn't
mate.
She like
She's
one?
One and a half.
Okay.
And a half. That half is important. Because at one, she was a blubbering idiot.
Yes.
And now she's got
six
some smarts on it.
6 months. What's she got?
6 months.
She geezing around? What's she doing?
She is quite clever. I put her in front, like, she knows as soon as she gets on my lap in front of the computer, she knows that screen is the one that's going to be playing Bananas in Pyjamas.
Oh, yes.
So she knows exactly what she wants. Anyway, when I put her down on the bed to watch
TV,
to watch Bananas in Pyjamas, she knows how to use the PlayStation controller to get to Bananas in Pyjamas, play, pause. She doesn't know how to stop, and she doesn't know how to turn off the PS4. But for a 1.5-year-old, she knows how to navigate Netflix.
Nick, why don't we ever have Bananas in Pyjamas dates, mate? You never invite
it's
me over.
It's quite impressive.
I respect that.
They've got like 100-something episodes on Netflix.
Yeah,
I've seen them all.
I should smash that. I was always a big fan of them.
But it's the animated one.
Is it an Australian thing, Bananas in Pyjamas?
Yes, it is.
For those who haven't heard, check it out. YouTube it.
It's animated now. It's all CGI.
Oh, right.
So, no costumes.
Could have aspired. We could have been B1.
There's a whole universe now. There's, like, the characters have increased tenfold.
Wow.
There are a lot of... It's very in-depth now.
We could have been B1.
It's the MCU of for kids.
We could have been B1 and B2, mate.
Without Bantz.
Oh, well. Bantz 1 and Bantz 2.
Anyway, this is a very much a basketball-specific podcast.
Yeah, plenty of news this week. Where's Reno?
So I think this is the first basketball one we've done since LeBron.
Yeah, yeah, I think
so
it is.
So remind us what has happened in those past few weeks. Oh, we'll go through it again. We'll bring back the Busing Manuel scale.
Oh, yes, it's back for
I think we might actually have to explain it this time.
Yeah, yeah, you do that.
All right, so for those of you who are new or have just simply forgotten, because it is quite a confusing concept.
Well, I think Nick has.
The Busing-Manuel scale is a scale created by us that sums up NBA rumors, how things are likely to happen in the NBA, from rumors to hot takes to anything, to trades and anything. So we scale it from alternative fact, never going to happen, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, and straight up fact. So I think you can figure that out.
Yeah, mate.
All right. So first one here. The Spurs comprehensively won the trade in their deal to Toronto.
Okay, so...
so there's a bit of... bit in here.
Yeah, for those that have been under a rock, obviously, the Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan deal happened earlier in the week. Funnily enough, it worked out well that I am in Australia, because it was all happening real time for us. It was like 3 a.m. American time for a lot of our listeners over there. So I was able to sort of, you know, see the Shams, Woj bomb battle happening. I put a poll out about it, and I think it was basically about 50-50. It got quite some traction because, you know, OTG, I was putting it in the DMs and stuff. So, funnily enough, actually, no, it had 53 votes. 66% of people said the Spurs won the trade, and 34% went with the Raptors. I'm on the opposite side, and I think having time to reflect upon it, listen to a lot of NBA pundits speak about it, you look at where the Raptors won, and the fact that they're now a legitimate Eastern Conference contender. And they already were with their current iteration, but they were they weren't getting any better. They hit a plateau.
Yeah, they definitely plateaued.
But you add in Kawhi Leonard now, who is a top two, top three player when healthy. You know, he's the LeBron stopper. There is probably one of the best perimeter defenders of all time.
Yeah.
An MVP candidate, you know, I think 2 years ago, you know, I think Zach Lowe voted for him for MVP in the year that Steph won it, or whoever it was in that year. But I was very surprised to see so many people getting on the Spurs bandwagon, because I think the Spurs, from the Spurs' point of view, they get DeMar DeRozan, who is an All-NBA, All-Star, you know, gold medal winner, one of the best two guards in the game. But at the same time, has he plateaued? I think under Greg Popovich, he could... he added that three-point shot to an extent, but again, it's still like under 35% he shot it last year. He was quite poor in the playoffs, and in the Western Conference playoffs where it gets even more competitive, that could be a struggle for him. But I think it was the sort of immediate reaction. Like, I put this out like probably half an hour after, and everyone was just going absolutely bananas and going hammering home, like, what is Masai Ujiri doing? But for me, I think the Raptors won it. I think the Spurs would be happy with their return, in part because of, you know, this was a move for now. And if you look at what the other possible trades were on offer with the Lakers, you know, it was basically picks and young guys. You know, Ingram, Lonzo, Kuzma, Hart, whoever you want to talk about. The Sixers, apparently they wanted Simmons and or Embiid. That was never going to happen. And apparently Markelle Fultz wasn't even on the table. So as much as they had picks on the table as well. So, I mean, other than that, for me, the Spurs win in a sense, but that pick as well is 1-20 protected. So yeah, even
that's a big protection.
That's huge protection. Yeah. The highest pick that they can get out of this is 21. And apparently the draft isn't as loaded as next year, and I know this because...
And that's assuming that Raptors are even a top 10...
Exactly.
A top 10 team in 2019. That's not this year's draft, that's...
2019 is next...
Is next year. Okay, yeah, well, next we're draft assuming that they're a top 10.
You would assume...
I mean, maybe. Again, like, that protection is there to protect the
Raptors. If Kawhi's unhealthy.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So that's an incredibly dumb move from the Spurs.
Yeah.
You don't really hear that too often. But I'm sort of siding with you here. To say that they comprehensively won this trade, I'm going straight up alternative
fact.
Yeah,
same.
This was a lot more even-keeled than a lot of people are giving it credit for. Danny Green's not a bad player.
Danny Green's he's wavered in terms of his age, but he is a good defender and a good 3-point shooter.
Yeah, 3 and D.
And that adds
general manager, what coach would not want a 3-and-D guy in the current NBA?
Yeah.
It is amazing. You, again, are taking a massive risk with Kawhi Leonard. Who knows how much of that was Spurs organization and how much was him?
Yeah.
If the Kawhi camp and the Toronto camp
can work harmoniously, then there's no reason why he can't. I mean, assuming that he's all fit and healthy.
Yeah,
and
we
can't
did
get back
see
to,
a picture of him today to with Masai Ujiri. So,
and he had a slight smile.
I was saying
a smirk.
Yeah,
I guess
I was saying to Nick Faye of Brooklyn Buzz and OTT Basketball that there needs to be an emoji specifically for Kawhi, where in between the blank face and the smile emoji, and that's just
that little in between,
that minor smile,
the Kawhi smile.
That's doesn't good. Work. But yeah, should we listen to Greg Popovich's comments?
Yeah,
after?
Okay. So this is Greg Popovich when he was asked about everything that he has endured. Last
because it was
season.
Obviously yeah. a crazy wild season in San Antonio.
I mean, with passing of his wife as well.
I mean, that
like,
was one of the more sad things.
He's
to happen.
Had a rough year.
I mean, but Pop obviously keeping things even keeled. So have all a listen.
Right. Wait, if we could do it.
Anything you've endured this season, does that motivate you to
want
to keep going?
Well, of course it does. But, you know, when you say that we've endured, you know, this is basketball. And enduring, I think, is pretty much a misnomer. It's playing a child's game and getting paid for it, you know. Enduring, you know, just look at the TV and look what's going on in the world. There are a lot of billions of people enduring. We're not enduring anything.
You just brought up...
For a white man, he's very for an old white guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's beating that stereotype.
He's so prophetic.
To smithereens.
He's so prophetic, and I mean, we're gonna have a word about him later in the pod as well. Mm. But just the
pragmaticism. That's definitely not the word.
Whatever.
But it's the Nick word. Needs to be a Nick word of the day.
Nick word of the week. For one of them, it just shows, like, you know. He also remarked in the same press conference how excited he was to have DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl on board. In terms of the Jakob Poeltl pick, Nick, so the Raptors have a lot of decent young assets.
That's probably like one of the worst ones.
Yeah, like I would rank them. I would go OG.
Raptors did well to only get rid of Poeltl.
Exactly.
Like that's a plus for the Raptors. Yeah.
Like we'll go through them. We got OG Anunoby, you got Pascal Siakam, you got Delonte Wright. And then Fred VanVleet probably couldn't have been included because he just signed and he couldn't have been dealt till November. But if you're ranking them, he's third or fourth. It's not to say that Jakob Poeltl is horrible. Mm. And there was a decent comparison made on Danny LaRue's podcast. And the ceiling of a guy like Jakob Poeltl is like Marcin Gortat. A solid starter.
Yep.
Which is good. And I mean, you know, they've got Pau Gasol who's aging in San Antonio right now. So it's a nice enough piece. But, you know, OG Anunoby is already one of the best wing defenders in the NBA. You know, guarded LeBron the finals, did an amicable job, as amicable as you can do, guarding one of the best players of all time. And Pascal Siakam has ridiculous upside in terms of his athleticism and switchability to play at the 4 and the 5. And, I mean, we talked about them. The five-man lineup of Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, is probably one of the most fearsome defensive lineups in the NBA.
Let me throw this one at you.
Counter.
Mate.
Go.
No counter. No? Just a hypothetical.
Give me some.
Spurs have a great season.
Okay, yeah.
Let's say this works out. DeMar's MVP candidate.
Whoa.
He's MVP form.
He was.
I mean, he's close.
Didn't we have him like...
I mean, he starts the season on fire.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
He carries on and then sort of everyone else sort of catches up.
Yeah.
All right. Plus, Toronto doesn't help you. Spurs are they're in America. So, yeah. Like, so they have an amazing season. He is MVP caliber.
Yeah, yeah.
He is amazing. All right. Let's just say, on top of the passing that he's gained at the 3-point shot, he learns how to post.
Wowza.
Why not?
LaMarcus is teaching him, maybe.
Like, who knows? I'm just throwing this anyway.
Yeah, yeah, do it.
He's MVP worthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Second, they finish second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Possibility. Could happen.
The Lakers finished seventh.
Oh.
Because LeBron is on the Lakers.
Yes.
DeMar goes to shit and they get swept in the first round.
Wow.
Bang.
Wow, Nicholas.
DeMar cannot escape the curse of LeBron.
Look, there's talk that like DeMar won't make an all-star team again because
now he's in the West.
Like James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard. The guard depth there is phenomenal. You've got Donovan Mitchell on the come up as well.
Would say that DeMar's better than most of those players, though.
I'd say he's better than some of those players.
He's better than Lillard. He's better than McCollum.
I'd say he's on
par. He can be better than Westbrook.
Westbrook would be a top 10 player right now. And I wouldn't say DeMar's top 10
I think
10
you're
player.
Sleeping on DeMar a little bit, mate.
Well, I love DeMar DeRozan, and I think the outpouring of love from him, from players and you know, teammates alike, and everyone in the community, just shows that, like, you know, how likable of a character is. The realness that he had, you know, coming out in the season, similar to Kevin Love, revealing his sort of struggles, like, you know, throughout the year, there was an article in a Toronto publication saying, like, you know, he split from his partner, who also took their kids to Los Angeles, so he's been estranged from them somewhat. I think his father or his mother passed as well, and he's, you know, he struggled with his depression. He's, you know, so for me,
he's a relatable dude,
very, and I sort of see the outpouring and I relate to it, and you know, obviously the Insta post, and we saw all that. But if you want to look at this from a positive spin for the Spurs, Kawhi played 9 games last year. You add in DeMar DeRozan, and they won 47, I think it was 47 games last year, and finished in the 7th or 8th seed, whatever it was. And you automatically upgrade. It's basically like a trade Danny Green for DeMar DeRozan, essentially. I think Zach Lowe or someone said this. And that automatically makes you better. I don't see the sustainability of it. Like, you know, they're not rebuilding, but at the same time,
they've got that pick, though, which they would assume that they get.
Yeah, obviously. But
like, that's that pick thrown in there strengthens that Spurs case by a lot. Sticking on the subject of the Toronto trade, obviously it was very well known that there were some words said.
Or not said.
Or not said, yes, between DeMar DeRozan, and Masai Ujiri. And so the question here, Toronto GM Masai Ujiri was cold-blooded in dealing DeRozan.
I mean, this is a fact.
I mean, the actual fact that he dealt him, maybe not, but
how he
dealt him, how he handled the situation,
promising
one thing. I mean, if he had just been open with DeMar, he's just like, we're getting rid of you, mate.
I think, yeah, and the rumors going around was that at Summer League they had conversations, and he said that, like, you know, he's not on the block or anything. There was miscommunication on that part. But we'll go to Masai Ujiri, who had a presser today in relation to DeMar and the communication and all that. So we'll let him do his thing, and we'll reflect on that.
I want to not only apologize to DeMar DeRozan for maybe a gap of miscommunication, but also to acknowledge him and what he's done here with the Raptors, for this city, for this country. There's no measure to what this kid has done, and we appreciate him, and I promise you that we're going to celebrate him in the best possible way that we can, as long as I'm here.
Burn him. Burn him, I say. He did say one thing.
Yeah.
A gap in miscommunication.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to be that dude, but that makes it sound like there was miscommunication, and then there was a small gap where they communicated quite well.
Yeah. Well, you can analyze it how
English, grammar, maths.
Yes. 2 plus 2 is 4.
Exactly.
But for me, it took a lot for someone to admit they're wrong. And Masai sort of did that. He admitted it. Like, you know, look, he could have done things better. And I think at the end of the day, if he reflects upon it, maybe he doesn't say to DeMar, look, you know, you're here for life, mate. We love you. You're the best Raptor, you know, in the history of this franchise, you know, leading point scorer. He wants to be here. You know, Kyle Lowry's great and Vince Carter was great, but DeMar was Toronto. So it's just sad to sort of see how things turned out. You know, we saw his Instagram posts, which were, you know, very sort of foreboding. You know, I think it was a couple of days before that, people were sort of analyzing the fact that he deleted all of his posts on Instagram, and everyone's like, okay, well, you know, people do that. Funnily enough, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson did that of the Brooklyn Nets, and nothing ever happened of that.
Because no one cares about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
He's probably got, like, I think he's got 40,000 followers compared to, like, DeMar's got, like, 2.4 million. So there you go about that.
Just a few.
Times 60, almost. Times 6, or 6, no, 60, actually. But yeah, I think that from both parts, I think there was definitely, you know, DeMar has to understand that it is a business decision. This is what happens. But at the same time, we all need to realize that, you know, we need to stop. I think us as an industry, obviously we're part of it to an extent. has started to realize that, like, you know, players can do what they want, because this is the thing that happens with GMs as well. Like, you know, we don't besmirch players for wanting to be wherever they want to be. Like, you know, there was a huge outroar of DeMarcus Cousins. Whereas I'm just like, dude, like, if you want to be wherever you want to play and get paid, do what you got to do. I mean, I'm probably one of the bigger KD haters, but, you know, upon reflection, you know, I may have probably gone a bit too hard on him. But we shall move on. From San Antonio's side, Nick, this was a move made to appease Coach Popovich. Now, I'll give you this little tidbit fact for people that don't know. Pop is only contracted on till the end of the 2020 season, which, funnily enough, he's also the Olympic coach, the year of the Olympics. So he may not be coaching in the NBA beyond that. Obviously, he's aging. You mentioned that, you know, the whole old white man thing. But, and he's, you know, he may want to try to go for president. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I'd love to vote
Pop for Prez.
Pop for Prez. We know Pop Kerr 2020. But for me, you want to go for it first? Because I've got my thoughts.
I mean, isn't everything to appease... Not so much your head coach, because head coach is too broad, but like a head coach like Popovich, who has built your franchise, be like, listen, you want to make him happy.
Yep.
Not specifically for the fact that he's leaving in 2 years, but because he is Greg Popovich. And he could be contracted to 2040.
Yeah.
Hopefully he makes it that way. it's not a simple matter of, you know, is he... because he's retiring, or potentially retiring. I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. But they're making these trades to appease him. They're making these trades because it's the best thing for the team. Kawhi was unhappy. They got a superstar out of it, a pick, and a very young potential starter.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I mean, you're right on that front, but at the same time, I can't help but think, you know, with this sort of... It's not like, you know, you sort of run things back again. I mean, it is. You run things back again. You get an all-star, like you mentioned. Rather than going via the Lakers, the Celtics packages of, you know, young picks and assets, where you sort of replenish, you know, you reboot. I don't know if that's the Spurs way, you know, whether that's Pop's way. I'm sure that there's obviously some influence, like you mentioned. So I can't give this a full fact, so I'll probably give it a wiki. Because at the end of the day, Pop is... he's the greatest coach in NBA history for me.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe argue Phil Jackson, you know, some others. But for me, it's Pop. And he's been the enduring legacy he has had on the game of basketball. And outside of that in recent years as well.
This honestly has the same sort of feel in terms of that greatest coach as LeBron and Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, it's the longevity of Pop that has made him... It's what's made him so successful.
And we look at sort
to
of
be so good for so long, to be so adapting to how the game changes,
yeah,
and not just have a brief spurt of, hey, you were amazing.
2 decades. Since
that's
David,
what I mean. That's why I tend to go towards LeBron rather than Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
I mean, that's just me, and that's another conversation.
And we may do a pod about that. We certainly have plenty of time for that.
But yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, and obviously, keeping on Coach Popovich, he'll be obviously at Team USA camp. So Team USA camp headed by Coach Popovich will be the most awkward situation imaginable, Nicholas.
Yeah, it's not going to be great.
Because Kawhi's obviously, DeMar's obviously there.
People will, I mean, you see it every year. X person has declined the USA option. Y person has.
I think LeBron has.
I mean,
declined.
if we're going from A, they get the team that's all the way down to XYZ.
They're still the best.
And they're still the best team in the world.
Yeah. John Wall's accepted, apparently. It was on the Wizards Facebook.
He needs every bit of good publicity he can get right now.
So
that's a good move.
I mean, let's look at it from the flip side. You know, you go on the other side. I heard this on The Jump the other day. This could be an opportunity for everyone to just go, all right, let's just squash this thing. I don't think the Pop and Kawhi relationship is so severed. I think it's probably, you know, beyond that to an extent. And I think, you know, if Kawhi's there...
Players would have taken sides on this, 100%.
Maybe.
You see feuds, they talk to each other. I mean, they're messaging, they're on the Snapchats,
the WhatsApps,
the Instagees.
Don't call it Instag ever again,
the
sir.
The Tumblrs. I don't know what kids are doing these days. I
mean, Vivo?
Like, most of these Bebo? People is are Bebo, older than me.
Yes.
Although a lot of them aren't. What's Bebo?
Bebo was
it's like a instant messaging sort of thing, like WhatsApp.
Oh, I don't actually know. I just remember that like it was out when MySpace was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And MSN, I remember people like...
Messenger.
Yeah.
online.
Ah, good times. Anyway, I want the nudge sound.
There's still like the nudge on Facebook these days, and that's
is there a nudge?
That's
on Facebook?
that's like the wussy way of flirting with someone. GIF. Yeah.
Wait. Oh, the poke.
The poke.
The poke.
Yes.
Mate, I had a poke war with a mate. Wasn't a female.
All right.
Just two dudes poking each other.
Yeah, why not?
We had like 400 consecutive pokes.
That's a lot of poking.
Shout out to Mayank.
Yeah. Poke. Shout out to Poke and Co. in Vietnam Heiser's new restaurant. Giving him a bit of a plug there. Why not, mate?
Just randomly.
Why not?
Poke. But yeah, it's not going to be great. I mean, the team's going to be split.
I don't think it's really going to be that bad. Like, Kawhi, how, like, polarizing is Kawhi's personality?
Kawhi will go to Team USA.
Well, that's going to be the funny thing. And I mean, we might mention it briefly on an off-season pod if, you know, the news does come out. But DeMar should probably be there.
Like, people talk... it's sort of hard for someone who's... A, never been a professional athlete myself. B, Australia aren't really prolific in any sport, like to the point where no one else contends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We do not have that monopoly on any sport.
We used to
AFL.
Cricket.
We've got that on AFL, but that's not a global sport.
Yeah,
it's not a global sport.
You could argue
if that was a global sport, then yes. If AFL became an Olympic sport,
yeah,
then the point I'm getting at this is. A gold medal is heavily devalued in American sport. And people say, because I'm sorry, but I'm saying something slightly offensive, potentially. I've found that the Americans are so patriotic that doing something for their country, like playing a sport, winning a gold medal, is seen as... That has to be number one. That has to be the pinnacle of your sports career.
Yeah.
Whereas that is not true whatsoever.
For the basketball team.
If I played soccer, and I won the
World Cup,
A-League. Okay. I won the A-League Cup.
Yep.
And then I went that same year and won the World Cup. What's more meaningful?
Well, definitely the World Cup.
The World Cup, 100%, because Australia have no chance in hell, but no right of winning the World
what
Cup.
What about if you're Cristiano Ronaldo and you win the Champions League and then you win the World Cup for Portugal? I mean, you can change it to person to person, and
that's
I get
different.
It with basketball.
That's different as well, because it's very close.
Yeah.
The World Cup, like Portugal themselves are not an amazing footballing nation. They won the Euro, which was mighty impressive, off his own boot.
Yeah, obviously. And they could have won it off his own boot.
Yeah,
you know,
in the
knockout rounds.
Yeah, I mean...
Don't listen to this,
football,
Ali.
Football's
like
such a close sport. And USA has their rivals. I mean, they lost... The Dream Team lost to Spain, I think it was.
Yeah.
So... Maybe I'm overlooking this.
Australian 2014, mate. Remember that game?
Yeah, all right.
Bogey and Delhi, Paddy. Mate, we're coming for
him. Our future team's all right.
Ben Simmons, Stein when he's with those high kicks.
It's all fader complete.
Yeah. You used it the right way, mate. Use it
fader complete.
Yes, sir.
That the Americans will take the gold.
Oh, absolutely.
In every Olympics, in basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
So what do you value more? What do you think LeBron James values more?
Yeah, I mean, it's lost its cachet now. We talk about, like, you know, obviously the Dream Team in 1992, you know, that historic team, Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson, you know, coming back and you know, conquering AIDS and Larry Bird and MJ. You know, that was, you know, basketball reinvented. And then, obviously, the Redeem Team, I believe it was 2004 or 2008, where Kobe, and it's just like, okay, we've got to do this now after they, you know, they lost, like you mentioned, to Spain. But now, this current generation of USA basketball is different because, you know, you look at Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, and DeMar DeRozan, these sort of guys. The sort of atmosphere around it is obviously, and Paul George, it's lost its cachet to an extent. You know, LeBron will probably be there because LeBron wants to play for Pop. He's mentioned that before. So if LeBron is there, it's still going to have that sort of allure about it. But once LeBron's gone, you know, Kobe was obviously historic. Melo's obviously a very good Olympic. We know Olympic Melo is sort of like, you know, hoodie Melo to an extent. So, I mean, yeah, I get it to an extent. But in terms of in relating to the San Antonio thing before we move on, I think that this has the potential to sort of be a thing that where this finally ends. We see, you know, a hug between Pop and Kawhi. They've had a great relationship over the years. I don't think it's that strained as has been made out. I think that there were, like you've mentioned before, probably more issues within the organization as a whole and other players, Tony Parker, etc., etc. But, Nicholas, Let's talk about Zach Lowe. So Zach Lowe, on his podcast, he mentioned, the Raptors wouldn't have fired Dwayne Casey had they been able to foresee this franchise-altering trade. This is a fun one to talk about because Dwayne Casey won Coach of the Year and he was fired. You foresaw that, Nicholas.
Greatest thing. I didn't foresee it. So OTG tweeted it.
Yeah.
And they're just like, would it be the first time ever? And then I retweeted it. So it wasn't my idea, but I retweeted it. I'm just like, God, I hope this happens.
I'm pretty sure George Karl.
I hope and hope and hope that this happens.
Yeah.
Because I want to see a Coach of the Year get fired. Because it was completely in play.
Yeah.
The way that they're doing, and then as soon as they got swept, it's just like,
it's
oh,
gonna happen.
Shit.
It's fait accompli.
I mean, yeah. That was it. But I'm not entirely sure I understand the wording of this thing. So they wouldn't have fired Dwayne Casey they could see this deal.
Yes. Correct. So like right now, instead of Nick Nurse as coach of the Toronto Raptors, Dwayne Casey's still there. You know, DeMar's not, but Dwayne Casey is.
I think this is completely true. This is almost 100% true, just given the fact of the miscommunication between DeMar and the organization. I think it's a very real possibility that going into Summer League, when they promised DeMar, blah, 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 like, we're not going to trade you, that this deal may not have even happened, that they had not even thought, we can get Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Maybe Spurs, I mean, I don't know the inner dealings and how it all happens, but the Spurs may have came to Raptors and be like, listen, we want DeMar DeRozan, and we'll give you Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Can we work out a package somewhere?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been shopping DeMar.
I actually think that that's correct. I think you're right on the ball with that because we saw a huge change in the landscape of this because it was basically Kawhi in LA. That's all it was. And then we saw Oddshark, some Vegas betting agency that posted Toronto is now the lead favorite to land Kawhi Leonard. And obviously that was a few days before this deal was done. But someone had to have known something. Someone had to have leaked something in that sort of sense.
I mean, if I had a Mercedes-Benz...
Yes.
I'm going to be bloody happy with the Mercedes-Benz. I just bought this Mercedes-Benz. It's nice, shiny.
Yeah.
Good car. I love driving it.
Yeah, mate.
And then I'm like, I've got no intentions of buying a new car. And then someone here is like, oh, we'll trade you that Mercedes-Benz for a Ferrari. I'll be like,
okay. It's essentially the same thing.
I mean, like, you've got no intention because you don't think that other deal is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. You can't foresee it, and that's why this thing's hard to sort of, you know, talk about. But Dwayne Casey has the sort of credibility, the defensive chops in terms of, you know, being able to install the systems within Toronto. You know, they were one of the better defensive teams last year. Not the best, obviously. You know,
had Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green.
And it goes gangbusters. And it's insane. Obviously, you know, Dwayne Casey's now in the Detroit Pistons and good luck to him. And I'm sure he'll do great things over there. But it's just funny thinking, you know, that if this had have happened, you know, the whole story could be different. You know, Dwayne Casey could win a second Coach of the Year and the Toronto Raptors could win the East and could possibly be in the finals, if not win the finals. You know, who knows what could happen because, you know, Kawhi Leonard, to an extent, has gone set where he's kryptonite and a lot of players kryptonite because we saw what happened a couple of years ago before that Zaza injury who, I mean, we hate on Zaza plenty and despite his Game 7 sound bites that he gives us, I don't like...
Game 7!
I had to weave that in.
We'll
set me up for it.
We'll give you that, Zaza. We'll give you that, Zaza. But yeah, I think it's a fact as well. I think, but it's funny to think because, you know, Nick Nurse is credited with changing the offense that happened this year in terms of being very pass friendly.
I mean, it was his pressure, apparently.
Yeah. And apparently, like, you know, they were like, you know, during summer scrimmages last year that they were sort of playing, you know, 2 pointers are worth 1 point and 3 pointers are worth 3 points. So, and that sort of, like, you know, gave them that emphasis. They got the buy-in from DeMar and Kawhi to take... Not Kawhi. Kyle, Freudian slip, to take lesser roles in that sort of sense. But on another ESPN personality, Nicholas, this is via Brian Windhorst. He commented, and I quote, "Toronto's front office does not care if Kawhi leaves after 1 year. They believe 1 year of Kawhi gives them a better chance of winning a championship than 3 years of DeMar." This is a fact, isn't it? Do you not think that this is true? The last statement does anyway. But
I mean, they will care if he leaves. I mean, they'll care.
But at the same time,
they want to do a Paul George right now.
They do, definitely. But the salary cap implications as well. Obviously, you know, you listen to plenty of the other pods as I do, And the DeMar deal, you know, he has 2 years left on his deal. I think it's $27 million per. After that, he's going to be about 30, 31. Then you're going to, if you're in Toronto's shoes, you have to offer him the max. Similar to like the sort of, you know, Russell Westbrook thing. He is the franchise. You know, you have to offer him that five-year, $220 million.
A gajillion dollars.
And 31, 32, 33, 34, 35-year-old DeMar does not deserve that. No player really deserves that. Like, we're seeing like Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook getting those deals, and those deals are going to haunt those franchises. I, you know, mark my words. So...
Yeah, I mean, that's not exactly a outlandish statement.
It's not, but now that they get rid of DeMar DeRozan, if Kawhi leaves as well, they can sort of rebuild and restock the cupboards, the assets.
Not to mention, I mean, Kawhi's best is heaps better than DeMar's.
And he's still young. He's still young-ish.
But that's the gamble. And are you ever going to get...
If you're Toronto, no.
Kawhi's best?
Well, yes, obviously.
Are you ever going to get that?
But are the Lakers going to get that? As well, because like it's
that's why they didn't trade for him. Well, that's why they didn't want to trade for him.
But they've made the gamble in a sense as well by not trading for him, and in the sense of what they did with Paul George, they're taking a gamble as well. There's lots of gambling happening.
There's no gamble on the Lakers side by not taking Kawhi Leonard.
Well, they did the same thing with Paul George, and he stayed in OKC, and they could have had.
There are the amount of free agents that are this like you. It's like saying that. Pelicans, not Pelicans, freaking Wizards took a gamble by not signing, okay, this is a bad example. But yeah, like, you're not losing money, you're not gaining money, you're not losing any players, you're not, it's like, you are, it is neutrality.
Yes, it is, but at the same time, there is...
There's a gamble that he might not sign with the Lakers.
Yeah.
And, very true.
And I think, you know, obviously the level of... you know, stakes, so to speak, is a lot lower because they've still got Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, and Brandon Ingram could be Kawhi-like and, you know, have Kawhi qualities in terms of, you know, his makeup. You know, he showed quite a bit last year, and I think he's in the realm for a breakout season. So, for me, yeah, this is a fact.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, that last one is definitely, I mean, a year of fully healthy Kawhi is...
They could be
so much better than DeRozan. As much as I love DeRozan, I do. I really respect everything that he's added to his game. Every year seems to be getting better. Yeah, I mean, it's a different player.
Yeah.
Completely different player, completely different setup. No one knows what they're going to be throwing at them.
Yep.
And that's what can shock a lot of teams all the way to a championship.
Yeah,
as much hyperbole as that is.
Yes, we will keep on the Lakers trend. The Lakers are the big winners of the Kawhi DeMar trade, Nicholas. We sort of talked about, you know, the gamble they took by not taking him. You know, they can just wait it out. Yep.
Spurs wanted way too much for Kawhi.
Yep.
And you can see the cost of Kawhi right now, a superstar and two young dudes.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yep.
And Lakers weren't willing to give up anything for that. Anything to that magnitude. Lonzo's not on there. Ingram definitely was not on there. LeBron. Just trade him away. No, they were smart. If Kawhi is dead set on coming to LA, I mean, then...
What if he goes to the Clippers, though? Imagine that.
Yeah, it's very likely. But the amount of free agents that are there...
Available
next year. You are the team in LA. You are playing with the best team best player in the world.
Yeah.
And some amazing pieces around him.
LeBron is aging, though.
If you want a championship, and that's all people will see. They will see,
but I don't,
oh my God,
but
that is a city where I can win.
But some of these guys now, in terms of the free agents that are going to be on the market, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, those guys don't seem to have the sort of championship or bust mentality that guys like LeBron used to, like Kobe.
And I do not understand that.
I mean, I get it to an extent because, you know, basketball is like sort of Pop was saying, it's a child's game. You know, we don't have to win a championship to get that validation. KD's already got that to an extent. Kyrie already has got that. Jimmy Butler hasn't, so maybe he might be still looking for it. But at the same...
I guarantee you, if, say... Charles Barkley could go back on his career.
Yeah.
He would decline sort of certain bids on massive contracts
yeah, yeah, yeah.
for rings.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, there's a cash.
That way he wouldn't get so much shit from Shaq.
I mean, obviously. But we saw, you know, the name of his new yacht, and he got, which is very fun.
That was good.
What was it called
again?
Call
it a free throw, because you know you'll never sink it.
Yeah, we shared that on our Facebook. It was quite good. But, yeah, in terms of the what you were chatting about there in terms of the free agents, funnily enough, the rumors being brought up aren't necessarily LA. Like, the rumors that are being brought up now in terms of relating to those big-time free agents are New York and Brooklyn. And I'm not just tooting my own horn here. Like, the rumor going around is that...
Man, if you get Kawhi Leonard...
If we get Kawhi Leonard, imagine Nicholas. If we get...
I will not be a happy man.
The rumor going around is, and that was revealed on the same Zach Lowe podcast, Bruce Arthur was saying that, you know, Kawhi was making calls about teaming up with other superstars in a team other than LA. Which, you know, in terms of the amount of cap space we have and will have, we are set to have probably the most and be able to afford two max players. And that's Kawhi and Jimmy. That's Kawhi and Kyrie. Kawhi and KD. It would be unfathomable.
It feels like my whole life the Brooklyn Nets have been bad.
And now we're actually...
And I cannot, and I will not, accept a universe. That's like imagining if the Carlton were good,
yeah,
for those AFL fans out
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've been bad my whole life.
Yeah. And now it's happening, mate. It's happening.
Well, Carlton's not happening.
No, Carlton's not, but Brooklyn is, because obviously Sean Marks and, you know, subscribe to the Brooklyn Buzz, because Nick and I...
I mean, I am... And I've joked about this a lot. I rag so much crap on Brooklyn Nets... Only because I am severely
insecure?
And deeply insecure about the Wizards and their future and their direction, because it is awful.
Team
around
Dwight, mate. It's all about Dwight. Don't worry about that.
I'm actually pretty excited.
It's going to be fun.
It will be fun.
It's going to be a fun experiment. But Nick, Kawhi heading east makes him the best player in the conference, if healthy. I'll add if healthy. He is.
Yeah. He's better than Simmons, better than Beer, better than Hayward.
Giannis. Give me a top four. Give me a top.
See, Giannis is just...
He's going to take that step.
It pisses me off.
Whoa.
Because I'm sure if I was... Because he is just a freak athletically.
Greek freak, mate.
He's a athletical freak. But he doesn't have... There's a difference between just like having the physicality and having the skill. Like he can palm the ball in one hand, take two steps, and he's at the line. And that sort of stuff, you can't teach.
Yeah.
You can't teach physicality. No, you can't teach physicality. You can't teach
athleticism.
So I would say, but Kawhi has oodles amount of skill.
Yeah.
Like skill more or less is shooting.
Yeah.
Shooting, maybe some sly passes, but Giannis being able to dribble, take two steps and dunk the ball. I mean, he's getting points for his team.
Yeah.
He's getting wins for his team, and that makes him an incredible basketballer. But does it make him better than
Kawhi
Leonard? No.
I think he could be, though. He's only 23, man. It's pretty insane.
Yeah.
There are some rookies.
LeBron was exactly that.
Yeah.
He was a freight train. No one could stop him.
Yeah.
And now he is one of the... He obviously had the Magic Johnson brain from the start.
Yeah.
But now he can shoot.
Yeah.
He is amazing.
Yeah, Giannis...
And he is the most skillful player in the game.
And probably ever. Giannis had that as well when he had that year when Jason Kidd played him at the point guard, which was, you know, an underrated move by Kidd. I think, you know, obviously...
It got him fired.
It did.
Oh, well, his offense didn't get him fired.
That didn't happen this year, but that happened as in the development. But if we're going top five sort of talents in the East, like Kawhi healthy, I'd go Giannis, I'd go Embiid, I'd go Kyrie. Top four.
Forgot about Kyrie.
And fifth would be... Who'd be fifth?
Is Kyrie better than Giannis?
I said Giannis third. Giannis second.
Kyrie.
It goes Kawhi, Giannis, Joel, Kyrie.
You reckon and Joel's better than Kyrie? I was a big Kyrie hater when he was at the Cavs.
Look, for me...
I think he is...
He's insane.
He took... he was injured a lot at Celtics, but he took those first... Oh, man. 50
games.
Oh,
Yes.
That's how strongly I feel. Like, I was converted.
Yeah.
I have been converted.
Look, it's hard to say because both of them have their health issues. And, I mean, we could probably debate this at the cows come home, and that's what's awesome about basketball and basketball chat. Kyrie's offensive upside. He may be the most offensively gifted point guard in the league.
That's true.
Stephen Curry. Yeah, maybe I'd probably have Steph over him.
Steph over him.
But at the same time, Kyrie's handles and ability.
Kyrie's got the best handle in the league.
Probably one of the best handles ever. I mean, you could argue
AI
that
might
AI
have
would
some,
probably have him up there as well. But even then, like some of his highlights last year, where like he sort of like dribbled through people and around people, his ability to contort himself and the ball is something or other. But Joel Embiid as well.
But yeah, he's defensively and his impact on a team, his just entire impact on a team is
and
amazing.
I think that he has barely scratched the surface yet. Mm. We've seen Kyrie at his best in those 2016 finals. Like that 41-point performance and that game, the dagger three was
the dagger.
Freaking amazing.
The block, then the dagger.
It was insane. It was one of my favorite moments in sport. Like it's etched into folklore and in my memory. Mm. So yeah, I mean, we might have to revisit that because that's certainly a very interesting topic. But Nicholas, in other news, there's been some other basketball stuff happening. You know, a couple of
things. I mean, we've spent 40 minutes talking about Kawhi and DeMar.
That's
more
amazing.
Or less.
And you know, a bit of Kyrie and some Lakers talking there. So why not? But Carmelo Anthony Nicholas does not deserve to start on the Rockets if he lands there, as has been widely reported.
Melo doesn't deserve to start anywhere.
Wow! Wowee! Is there a wow there? Do we have a wow?
Oh, I do have a wow.
Yeah, you good?
I haven't used this thing in so long. I've lost...
Forgot it.
I've lost where
you lost your
the
touch, mate.
Are.
You lost your touch. Who,
I honestly...
Who does the wow again on this thing? I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, it's Owen.
It's Owen Wilson.
Good old Owen. Gotta love him.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to start anywhere.
So... funnily enough, I did a poll, and I will revisit that poll, and because this one got tongues wagging as well, you know, similar sort of vote count, it was literally split 50-50, Nicholas.
Oh my God.
If, as reported, Melo heads to Houston, who should start next season? I had Melo and Ennis, James Ennis, who was picked up in a deal by Daryl Morey, who is by no means a superstar in any sense, but has nice 3-and-D capabilities and sort of is a very light version of Trevor Ariza. So sort of just plug him in, bit younger, you know, has that sort of ability to just be a jack-of-all-trades in that sort of sense, not take away the sort of limelight and offensively. So this was literally 50-50.
Melo, yeah, a 50-50 split on who should start. Melo needs to learn to be a team player. As soon as he can prove to me that he can do that, then... And if he can do that at a starter's level,
yeah,
then yes, he can start. Because he's not number one. He's not even number two on that team. He's not even number three,
Gordon,
assuming Clint Capella
he'd be
stays.
He'd be five or six.
Oh, yeah, Eric Gordon. Yeah. So if he's five or if he's six, then he's not starting anyway.
I mean, yeah, in that sort of sense, I think that he starts... purely because I think Chris Paul probably has the ability to get through to him and just go, come on, Melo. Like,
stop jacking shots.
This is the year. This is mine and James Harden's team.
That being said, if any team wants him to jack shots, it would be the Houston Rockets.
But it's interesting. They need to sort of find another wing to sort of replace Luka Mbamute and Trevor Ariza. They've done that with Ennis. They're likely to do that with Melo.
Trevor Ariza was such a huge blow.
It's insane, yeah. I mean, we shall wait and see because their defensive identity was sort of centered around him.
And Melo, we all know Melo can do that.
No, he can.
I mean, he can pick up the scraps.
Funnily enough,
fight.
You mentioned that sort of bench thing. Like, you know, the infamous clip, it's like, you know, who me? You know, when he's like, you know, they told him, you know, would you be open to coming off the bench for the Thunder, you know, if it helped your team? Obviously, because Jeremy Grant and Patrick Patterson were sort of better fits in terms of the system and stuff. And he's like, who me? And he's like, hey, P, they want me to come off the bench. And it's just like, dude, you probably should right now. It's not to say...
He probably should have in New York as well.
Not in New York. He should have last year.
He should have in his last year in New York.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. But he definitely should have last year.
He's been shooting bricks. I mean, that's why I hated the final year of Kobe. Because he announced his retirement at the start of the year.
Mate, it was the documentary.
And it was the Kobe show.
Yeah.
And D'Angelo Russell literally got screwed over for it.
Yeah, and that's... I mean,
he's at the Nets. So,
I'm happy about that.
And he's making... Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be... And he's, you know, set for a contract in a big year. One of my breakout players to watch this year, Nets fans. But, yeah, I think that, you know, you can argue what you want about Melo. You know, I think... I can't remember who mentioned it, but I agree with it. The fact that Melo's been sort of done to death in terms of his criticism, he's almost underrated now in a weird way. Like, you know, because we've chatted so much shit about him. And we have, and with good reason.
I mean, I don't rate him.
I mean,
Not these days.
I mean, in that sense, we shall wait and see. I think it's going to be a big season for him. And, you know, that buyout, he got every single dollar of that $28 million. Normally buyouts, like with Dwight Howard's buyout for the Nets, he left, I think, $5 million on the table of the, $23 million it was. And it's insane that Melo got every single dollar of the $28 million. And now he's probably going to get another vet minimum, another $2 million, $3 million from Houston or LA. I think LA are probably in the back seat, so to speak. But let us know your thoughts, guys. You know, we want to know, jbtpodcast@gmail.com.
Am I hating on Melo too much? I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I seem to not like that OKC team at all.
I mean,
Paul George is all right. I don't mind Paul George. But I have said that he's plateaued at late, so that's sort of a dig.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Westbrook.
Thunder
and
fan.
And Melo pisses me off.
Hey,
I love Andre Robertson.
Stephen Adams, mate. Come on.
Stephen Adams.
Stephen Adams is Aquaman.
Yes, he is Aquaman. Incredibly sexy.
Horribly sexy. My hair's starting to get longer, and I'm going for the Stephen Adams look, mate.
Nice.
There's no way I can get the facial hair, but maybe the fuzziness within the...
You're going to get a tribal tat?
Oh, man. For Steven, I would. but Nicholas, the 2K is coming out in a matter of months.
2K rating.
Right. I mean, I've been playing 2K18. It's for me, my form of meditation is 2K on mute and listening to podcasts. Not our podcast, because I hate our voices.
Yeah, we suck.
So I listen to other podcasts, and it's just a very nice way to sort of just...
I mean, that says a lot about the people who listen to this podcast.
I mean, we love...
The creators do not even want to listen to our
voices. We love you guys. We have the Aussie cachet and stuff, and we talk some funny stuff. But yeah, in terms of the 2K ratings, they're starting to trickle out now. You know, LeBron was 98. DeMar was apparently only 89.
I'm pretty sure I saw a fake tweet.
Yeah?
That was Lonzo's 89.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that was fake.
Come on. All right.
Can't be real.
But with the abusing Manuel, Ben Simmons should have a higher 2K rating than fellow former rookies Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum.
Not going to lie to you, mate. I thought you said Bill Simmons. I'm just like, he's in 2K now. Yeah. Reporters have a 2K rating.
Yeah, we'll get one.
Charisma.
Mate. Let's get around us.
Question writing.
Podcasting.
Yeah.
We'll get us in there.
Let's all get ratings.
But they're... for those who don't know, they all have an 87 rating. Mm. All three of them.
Yeah.
Nick, is this correct? Do they all deserve that 87 rating?
I mean...
Should someone be 88?
Someone 86? Should be 88. And it should be the Rookie of the Year.
Oh!
That's not any hot takey stuff.
Well, it kind of is, mate!
That's not saying that... Well, he won Rookie of the Year. He's obviously better than the other two.
Donovan Mitchell was the best playoff player.
I mean...
One of the best...
Doesn't matter. This is a video game. What is that 1 point overall going to be?
It's... Well, Ben
Just
Simmons...
Just give Ben Simmons an extra point for those, in post-up. In dunking. Who cares?
Funnily enough, we always see the videos come out of the players being told their ratings. Ben Simmons' one was one of the first ones that's been released. Mm. And he was like, 87. Okay. He wasn't happy. He's like, he's aiming for that 90. He was sort of saying...
90 in his first year. I mean, 87 is amazing.
It's pretty great.
I mean, I'm thinking of this in FIFA, like FIFA standpoint.
So what's like Ronaldo and Messi?
98. Yeah. Yeah, like they're high.
Does LeBron
Don't get me
deserve
wrong,
99?
But our first year would be happy with 70.
Yeah. Well, like...
I'm pretty sure Mbappe, who is...
Yeah.
Who is 19 right now, who had an amazing World Cup.
Probably one of the players.
This FIFA, he will probably be 85 at least, I would think.
I'd say he's a 90. Be pushing.
No. 90s are rare.
But he is one of the...
Sorry, no. Not 90s are rare in FIFA. No one gets to 100.
No, but... No
one gets to 98. Like, no one gets that high in FIFA.
Yeah.
Pretty sure the highest was Ronaldo back in the day at 90.
What about Messi?
So I guess it all scales down.
Yeah.
So if you just take away 10, I guess that makes sense. Well, so our first year would be 77.
Yeah.
In FIFA terms. Okay, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ratings differ. They are the two best sports games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of maybe...
Mate, FIFA's no PES. Pro Evolution Soccer.
No, NBA Live, mate.
NBA Live.
EA Sports. Joel Embiid's on the cover. I'm thinking, like, because if I end up moving...
Truly trash.
If I end up moving and I end up making a decent amount of money, I might buy it because I like sports games better than, like, you know, how you like your World of Warcraft and stuff and you immerse yourself in that because it's very just sort of like, you know, there's no sort of stress involved and no anxiety related to it. Like, it's just like, oh, I can't die here or whatever. Like, I get anxious about that sort of shit.
It's so weird, like... the niches that these sports games have. We're going a little bit off topic, but like 2K games have NBA, obviously.
That's 2K League.
And the but they've also got the WWE.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
EA have FIFA, they've got Madden, they've got NHL.
NBA Live.
I mean, yeah, but NBA Live is not the... like,
it's not... it's there, though. It's part
no,
of
No, but
it.
It's... like, that's what I'm saying. Like, these are the monopoly.
Yeah.
Like, FIFA...
in terms of
beats,
sport, yeah.
Beats anything that Pro Evolution Soccer's...
ever done.
Ever it. Released.
Ever will do.
You know? They've got the Madden games. The Madden games are incredibly, incredible
the NHL
gameplay.
Games
the
well.
NHL game is hell fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like... It's just weird. It's like they decided to focus on basketball... and they've done it perfectly.
And
yet EA can't do a basketball game. Like, they just can't do it.
Who did the AFL game? Was that EA as well?
No, it would have been some
Australian ones.
Yeah, yeah. Some what, low name
or something. But the 2K WE is meant to be very good. I remember playing one of them, and I mean those two niches. They also have a really sort of fervent fan base as well.
Like, you actually know what I wouldn't mind.
What's that?
WNBA on 2K.
Yeah. Like the WNBA league has been insane this year, and I've been really wanting to like buy in.
That next, Aussie, the Aussie
this
girl.
This Cambridge,
who,
53
yeah,
points.
53 points.
Next season.
Good on her.
Funnily enough, I saw, funny story, Maggers, Nick and I saw Liz Cambridge at a Kanye West concert.
Ooh.
She towered above everyone.
Yeah,
and,
<I bet.
laughs> and during N-Words in Paris, she was like moshing. And I'm just like, keep her safe. We need her for the Olympics. This was like in 2014 or something. It was insane. Like seeing her like tower above everyone. And she's one of the, like her and Lauren Jackson are two of the best like Australian women's basketballs. Australian
well, that's,
basketballs
That's actually
ever.
Like Australian, I know going off topic again.
Why not? It's our pod.
Australian... female sports,
yeah,
like we create some amazing sportswomen,
yeah,
and it's because we're so progressive in
we
you know,
do, yeah.
gender, I guess, gender equality,
yeah.
I mean, you see, like,
when it comes
our,
to sport,
yeah, sport,
yeah.
Like, we see a lot of European, like the Women's World Cup, it's not
the USA, are really
yeah,
good.
Exactly. It's yeah. not surprising that the most successful, women's soccer clubs or soccer nations
yeah.
are progressive
nations. Yeah.
Whereas players like places like Brazil, who have been obviously cultivating football for
the
millennia,
one of the most World Cups of all time,
but because they don't have that same quality, they don't that same balance.
Yeah.
Their women's teams lacking, and our women's teams are amazing.
And yeah, like you know, hockey teams as well. You know,
yeah, like our women's hockey team has been the best for some time.
Yeah,
We
generally always have really good female tennis players as well. We've sort of dropped off in that department a little bit, but like that's one thing I'm really liking to see. And like next year, we're going to start covering a bit more at JBT as well in the offseason, because that is a time where there's sort of a real gap. Mm. And I've sort of been following it a little bit through other people. And I watched the game on in the background, and it's a really high quality as well. So, you know, this isn't us just like tooting all the horns of the NBA. Like, it's an awesome product. Go check it out. We'll be checking out. Like, we'll be following Liz Cambridge. We might have to, like, you know, get a Liz Cambridge jersey, and we'll follow her team going forward. But, Nick, in a final one, in outrageous social basketball news, pickup basketball, a man called the cops after being fouled by an opponent. Now, Nick, what would it take for you to call the cops on me? Because I have elbowed you in the face, made you bleed profusely, and almost broken your nose, yet you're still like, yeah, right, mate, it happens. So
I saw that video.
It was so ridiculous.
Not even the cop was just like, what the... like, this is what I'm doing with my life.
It was the first ever time he said, remember? He was just like...
he was depressed.
Yes.
It's like, this is the career I've chosen. I'm essentially coaching basketball. Like, ugh, come on, man. Like, it's all... I am a massive believer in... like, I'll never...
call a foul?
I generally don't call fouls, unless they're...
so, the
like,
you want the offensive player to call the foul?
But even then, like, I can get knocked around and stuff, so long as there's no malice in it.
Yeah.
I'm alright. And even if there is malice in it, I'll just hit him back.
Yeah.
Like, any sort of... I sort of treat it like... like football.
Yeah.
So whenever I played football, soccer. It's a very, it's relatively non-contact. Like,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
can't tackle people.
Yeah, same
but,
as basketball.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a certain way I want to play. If I'm up against someone who wants to play rougher, I will play rougher.
Yeah.
I will be hip and shouldering and seeing as much as I can get away with.
Yeah.
But I am a real prick to play against. Yep. I've heard.
Right.
I'm loudmouthed and very obnoxious, and people just want to break. In fact, some person did break my collarbone.
Yes.
Because I was such a smartass.
Look, he's not that bad with basketball. In a team setting, you're worse than you are one on one because.
Oh, definitely. One on one, I'm very relaxed.
Docile.
Yeah.
But at the same.
In a team, if someone makes a point, I make the other. If someone makes a three, I make the other team know that they hit that three, that they gave that away.
Yeah. Nick's. I mean,
I'm a team player.
I've got a little bit
to
that.
Make the other team feel.
I've got a little bit of that white line fever as well. But like, you know, me and Nick play one on one and have done it for eons. And it's interesting to see, like, you know, generally we will just like acknowledge like that a foul has been done if the other person is just like, oh, all right, we'll rarely argue. It's whenever Charlie comes in or like a third person that it sort of changes the dynamic. Or like you said, 5-on-5. Like when I play 5.
But then it's like that's how he plays. He plays hard. And so I'll go in harder.
Yeah,
like, that's just how I play. Like, I was playing pickup with Heiser. Shout out to Heiser.
Fan Bam. Pokeco.
And we were playing with just some randoms at the Ashley Street courts.
Yeah.
And there was a kid there, like 16. And he was good.
Yeah.
He was good. But he was frail. He was lanky. He was lanky. He had a decent dribble on it, a decent shot. Like, he could be
king of the court.
Like, yeah, he was good. Like, he was a good player. He was probably 16.
Yeah.
Heiser plays very physical defense.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
And
I can attest to that.
Probably hard fouled him.
Yep.
And I thought a fight was going to break out because it was me and Heiser and all four or five of them because they were all friends.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what are you fouling him for? I'm just like, it's just a game, man. Like, there was no malice in it. I hate it when people take it that far.
Yeah.
Like, a hard foul is different to, like, hip and shouldering someone.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, it's always a point of conjecture when I play in London because in London, there's a real sort of, you know, melting pot of cultures. Like, there's a few Aussies, there's a few Americans, a couple of European guys, a couple of, you know, native English guys. And all of them, like, there's different styles, you know, of sport, let alone basketball, that people play sort of brings it out. Like, you know, I'm obviously a bit tougher. Like, you know, I like to run. I like to, you know, get on the boards and stuff. Mm. And, like, people will sometimes, like, you know, go, oh, be careful with your jumping. I'm like, that's just how I play. And then there'll be some, like, a lot of the times, it's always the American guys that are the chattiest. And I hate people that chat during basketball. Obviously, I wouldn't make it to the NBA because, I'd be Kawhi. I just would not say a word.
Mm.
But, like, I don't like chatting shit, like, in any sort of sense of the word. I've never did it in when I played, like, Aussie rules and, like, you know, I played to a decent level in Aussie rules for a decent amount of time. I just, like, try and play really well. And then if, like, you know, they're talking shit to me, I might say a little bit back. I will never instigate it. But, you know, the fact that this happened is hilarious. I mean, we've seen, like, you know, Permit Patty, all this sort of bullshit coming out. But, you know, that ain't going to happen when it's me and Nick. That ain't going to happen down at the Ashley Street courts. That ain't happen at Altona Meadows Center. Mm. It ain't happening down here. But, you know, if you guys have any of your stories that you want to let us know about, we'd love to hear them. You know, the social basketball, it's the culture of basketball. I mean, I love this sport more than any other. You know, it's taken on a real life of its own for me. You know, it's allowed me to do this podcast. And, you know, just playing with Nick, you know, in New York is one of my fondest memories with him. Mm. It's just an awesome sport and so many awesome things around it, you know, not just the NBA itself, but everything else that surrounds it.
Good note to end on there, mate.
Spiel,
so
me or you?
Just about does it.
You doing it?
Yes.
Cool.
I think that just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us, I think, every Monday at 2 p.m. Let us know if you're listening to this on Dash Radio, so you let us know that you're alive.
Yes, please.
On the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. Hit us up on podcast, Apple Podcast, Blog Talk, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
YouTube.
Yes, we are on YouTube now.
Off the Glass. Subscribe to them.
Yep.
We're a part of
so
them.
So subscribe to Off the Glass on YouTube and you can hit us up there if that's how you decide to listen to your audio content. You can hit us up on Twitter at the JmanJBT. I'm not even going to bother plugging my Twitter because I'm not even on it.
How many followers? I'm going to search it up right now.
I've probably got 10 followers, but at the JmanJBT, he posts all the time. And he's a writer as well, so he'll post his articles there as well. OTG Basketball, follow them as well. You can read a lot of fire content, a lot of articles, with the season just around the corner.
29, not bad, Nick.
Oh, there you go.
I've got almost 10 times more than that. I've got 227.
There you go. So, yeah, hit him up. Do not hit me up. Don't at me. At him.
Literally don't at him. Literally.
Facebook, I'll respond to you there. Just Ball Things on Facebook. Gmail, I will also respond to you. I'm all about the old school medias. So Jack's on the Instagram.
Yes.
He's on the Twitter. Yeah, I'll take the Facebook and the Gmail.
We'll get someone with a Snapchat one day. We'll like hire an intern who's 14, get us on the Snapchat street. I don't know.
14. Pretty sure that's child labor.
Anyway, 14 and 9
There
months.
Are just some things that children are better at. You ever try fitting in a mine shaft? That is a tight squeeze.
14 and 9 months.
Anyway, jbtpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, please.
So remember, it's you guys that make the show great. So we appreciate any post, every message, every email that heads our way. So until next week.
Keep pulling the stars.